Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Greetings, my name is Keith Schertz, and I am here with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh. Tosh, how you doing, man?
Yeah, man, I'm doing really good.
Yeah? Oh, that's great. Are you excited to watch BYU play Cincinnati?
Yeah, I'm really excited to see BYU play Cincinnati. If you remember, loyal listeners of the show will remember that this is the matchup between the Dance Squad national champions. You know, they say the Cougarettes are the national champions, and so does Cincinnati. They say they're the national champions. So this is it. This is the matchup we're all waiting for. The national championship dance squads in the same stadium, maybe. Whoa, it's so exciting. I'm really excited to go to the game.
All right, Tosh. Well, good. Well, he's leaving now. Tosh is leaving now to go to the game. That's how excited he is. Wow, he's on his way over to Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Maybe he'll go sleep overnight. Maybe he'll do everything that it takes to go watch the game. Wow. Well, okay, Tosh, thanks for coming around and being here. Go enjoy the dance squads. Wow. Let's talk a little bit about the football game. First things first, Cincinnati's 3-2. Obviously, a roller coaster ride last week, and we all learned that Tanner Mangum is super important, and also that it helps if you have your best players in the game. So that helps. So obviously, the secondary should be a little bit better, but let's talk Cincinnati. They're 3-2 on the season. They've had a very explosive offense and a very mediocre defense. They are the 16th best scoring offense. They get you 39 points a game, and at the same time, they gave up around they give up 30.5 points per game. So they score a lot, and they let you score a lot too. So I think they get more possessions because of that. Because they let the other team score, it results in them getting more possessions. Cincinnati can wing the ball through the air. They gained 385 yards passing per game. That's their average output. So they are able to really put the ball through the air. We haven't had many games around BYU recently where we've even gotten past the average of passing yards that Cincinnati has on the season. So 385 passing yards is a lot. They also rush for a lot of yards. They rush for 201 yards per game on average. That's good for 32nd nationally. They're the fifth best passing team nationally. Their O-line gives them a lot of protection and pushes people around. They have a talented O-line. They've only allowed six sacks this season in their five games. The one place where their offense may be prone is they turn it over. They've thrown 10 picks this season. BYU has been relatively adept at intercepting the football this year. And so because of that, there's an opportunity for the Cougars to force some turnovers and make things happen for them that way. Last week, we felt relatively confident that BYU would be able to handle East Carolina on the offensive side of the ball, that they'd be able to move the ball and score points. They were able to do so long as Tanner Mangum was in the game. I don't really see a reason to feel differently about BYU's ability to move the ball again against the defense of Cincinnati, that when you play worse defenses, it's easier to move the ball. So the same reason that I said that their points are a little inflated, it's also inflated because, you know, there's so many up-tempo movements in Cincinnati games that they end up having a lot of possessions back and forth. So both teams tend to move the ball. So points are a little bit inflated, so take that for what it's worth. But teams are averaging 30.5 points a game on the Bearcats. They surrender 200 yards of passing every game, 167 yards of running every game. A couple of things to think about. It'll be interesting to see who the Bearcats line up behind center Hayden Moore has been an excellent quarterback this year. He's passed for almost 2,000 yards. That's, again, in five games. He's almost passed for 2,000 yards. He has 10 touchdown passes and, again, 10 interceptions. The guy that they were really banking on before the year was Gunnar Kjell. He's another quarterback. He's a junior, and he is available for his season debut after he was injured. So we may see Gunnar Kjell tonight, but from Cincinnati fans and the perception that is out there, it doesn't really matter who the quarterback is. They're similar in what they do, and they both have the ability to wing it downfield. Gunnar Kjell may be better at his decision-making, and it may decrease the opportunity for BYU to get interceptions off of him. So I would think that maybe you would see Gunnar Kjell tonight, but because I think you wouldn't risk the mistakes that maybe come with Hayden Moore. But that's a decision for Tommy Tuberville to make for the Bearcats. They also run the football really well. They have three guys that you will be well acquainted with. Teon Green, Hosey Williams, they do their thing in the backfield. They also are returning a player from injury in Mike Boone, and they give them all the options. Thunder, lightning, third and short scenarios, they're going to be just fine running the football. And BYU has been relatively porous when it comes to handling themselves as they've been defending the rush. And I think that part of that, again, is they face some very talented running backs, and like Paul Perkins from UCLA, the guy from Michigan was a good running back. So they faced some talent on the other side, so that's partially why they've given up so many yards this year, for sure. But compared to other years recently, they aren't defending the run as well as they have in the past. And so it'll be an interesting element of this game, because I think if the Cougars are going to limit Cincinnati, it'll be because they can take away the run. I don't think that they're going to be able to really limit the pass, but I do think that if you can force Cincinnati to give up on the run, that is the opportunity for the Cougars to maybe keep Cincinnati at bay offensively. And by at bay, I mean maybe you could force them under 30 points. So explosive offense for Cincinnati. Defense is very average. BYU's offense looks like they can score and that they have opportunities to have things work. Algernon Brown, it makes a big difference when you're healthy, doesn't it? I thought that Algie was great against East Carolina. And I think that if he can keep that going, it'll continue to work to the advantage of the Cougars. Obviously, Tanner Mangum, it's amazing how quick he's become so critical for the team. But it'll be really fascinating to see how he handles this opportunity, because there's a lot of pressure that can come in a game like this. I mean, everybody expects it to be a shootout. And there's a lot of pressure to not let the other team get away. And so, you know, if it looks like Cincinnati's going to score, you know, with whenever they have the football, that it looks like they might be adding to points to their side of the scoreboard, you know, you have to go out there and respond. Mangum's been good when he's been in pressure situations. Actually, that's an understatement. He's been unbelievable. In all four of Tanner Mangum's wins as the starting quarterback this year. Well, sorry, he's won three games as the starter. But in all four games that BYU has won this year, they have either come from behind or been tied in the fourth quarter. And it's resulted in Tanner Mangum making a throw or a play that has won the game for the Cougars. That's incredible. That's an amazing thing to have on your side, to know that you have a player that has the ability to go out and face the most difficult scenarios and overcome. And so I think that we all should be very, very impressed with Tanner Mangum, and he's doing an excellent job. His progression's getting better, and Let's hope that that hamstring holds up. I got to say, I don't think he's going to be quite the same. Hamstrings are, that's a real thing. As Steve Pierce, who's at Post Jimmer on Twitter, he's also the new co-host of the Zone Leaders podcast, which is also on Vanquish the Foe. He does that with Jake Welsh. He's brought up a very, you know, valid point that, you know, Nate Austin for the basketball team had hamstring problems and he was out and he didn't play and he ended up not playing the rest of the year. He's missed a lot of games in his career with hamstring issues. And so to hear that the problem with Tanner Mangum is hamstrings, that is worrying. And so hopefully it doesn't get tweaked or anything like that. If the situation arises with Bo Hodge, we'll have to see how it goes, right? He struggled his first time out. That's acceptable. I think that you're going to see that he'll struggle. He's a freshman quarterback, and he comes from a state that's not particularly known for football, and he's from Kentucky. And so to be like an excellent quarterback in Kentucky, it's not the same, right? It's not the same as being like Tanner Mangum, where you are, you know, you were the MVP of the Elite 11 camp, considered one of the finest quarterbacks in the country. That's not what Bo Hodge was. He is an excellent athlete, and I think he has ability, but it takes time. There's a learning curve. But as you all know, the main event of the weekend as we prepare to play Cincinnati is the Fireside. It's happening the night before, and fortunately for you, breaking news, we have Broncos Fireside Talk, and it's prepared, and it was found by Randall in Orem, Utah. He said he found it recorded over a mixtape that read Summer Jams for Holly. Okay. He says that it's going to be given at the BYU Creamery, and that the title of Broncos Fireside Talk is the Cincin Nativity. That's it. That's our winner this week, folks. You need to send in your... I mean, I guess Bronco's got Christmas on his mind. I don't know. He mashed up Nativity in Cincinnati. That's the winner this week. Wow. Randall, you get a sticker for your car that you can rep in UVU country here in Orem. Thanks for listening to the show, Randall. If you have... a scoop on what Broncos Fireside Talk is going to be as they prepare to play the Wagner Seahawks. Let us know. CougarCast@gmail.com. You may get a very, very cool sticker for your car. Also, let us know. You can do it over Twitter at CougarCast. So, CougarCast@gmail.com. Give us your Bronco Fireside Talk. Give us what it's going to be. Where it's going to be, how you found it, what was the technology by which you found it, send that to us. In 1990, Ty Detmer won the Heisman Trophy. We're chronicling each week of his accomplishments as we go through the season. This week, he faced the Colorado State Rams at home, and the Cougars were now ranked the 13th team in the country. They just lost to Oregon, had a bye week. They're 13. Ty Detmer showed up to play. He was dealing. 26 for 38, 316 yards, 4 touchdowns. He did throw 3 interceptions. The offense also rushed for a lot of yards. Actually, 5 different running backs ran for 227 yards combined. They ended up winning the game. He found Chris Smith the most, passing the football. But he really spread the ball around with 13 different receivers. Anyway, BYU beats Colorado State 52-9 on the strength of a 300-yard, 4-touchdown passing effort from Ty Detmer. Okay, this week's reason to hate the Cincinnati Bearcats has, again, we're going food themed, but you know what? You know what's ridiculous? Skyline Chili. Cincinnati Chili is bullcrap. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? You know what it is? Cincinnati Chili. Here's what makes me mad about Skyline Chili. It looks exactly like something that you do when you're a poor college student. You open up some ramen noodles, cook it up, and then you're like, oh, I got a can of chili. Okay, I'm going to throw the chili on top of these noodles. Okay? And that's going to be... And that's the signature dish. That is the thing that they have a ton of pride in. Okay? So they throw down some spaghetti, throw a little chili on that business. And apparently that's incredible! Well, it's not. It's silly. And if that's fine dining in Cincinnati, you know, it's certainly enough reason for us to hate them. So say no to Skyline Chili. Come on. There's no reason to like a team or to have any good feeling about a team that literally is going to be represented by a dish that is totally, totally inspired and probably was discovered by somebody who was just fooling around in the kitchen and making something because they had two ingredients sitting around in their house. So say no to that, and that's why you should hate the Cincinnati Bearcats this week. All right, we're going to wrap things up. Short podcast this week. Listen, this game, I think I'm with everybody else. I don't see things going much different. I think it's going to be a shootout. I think that as long as BYU is healthy and as long as they don't have any ejections from the game at key spots, that they're going to be able to turn it into a shootout. And the whole thing is going to be shootout. When a game is a shootout, it all comes down to major plays defensively. So if there's any turnovers, if there's any special team plays, returns, punt blocks, punt returns, anything like that, that's the team that's going to win the game. So look for the Cougars to win. If they're going to win, they've got to win the turnover battle and maybe get a big return that makes it a short field, have an interception return that makes it a short field, or score defensively. If they do one of those things, that gives them an opportunity to win. I think if they don't do any of those things, I do think that they're going to lose. And I think that they'll have trouble winning if they don't get a couple of those big plays. You can never bet that a team is going to score on a punt return. You can never bet on those things. Unless it's like 2006 Devin Hester is on your team. So, because of that, I just think this game screams a lot like the matchup. You know, this American Conference, it's been a grind against the American Conference in some ways. You know, it was a tight one with East Carolina. The Memphis game was a zoo. Both the matchups against Houston were nuts. So this kind of top or upper tier of the American Conference have always been just wild, wild contests. And I just think, you know, BYU has ended up on the positive end of them more times than not. Obviously, the Memphis game they lost, but I think sometimes it just catches up to you. It feels like we've won too many of these wild games in a row. So, for no other reason than I think Cincinnati's very talented. I think they're going to be able to score a lot of points. I don't think we're going to be able to stop them enough. I think this one's going to be a wild one, and I'll take Cincinnati in this one. 48 to BYU's 42 points. That's what I think is going to happen, and next week we'll really have Tosh back. I know that he's excited to see the dance squads, but he's also out of town. So I promise we'll have him back. I apologize for a couple weeks now of it just being myself. But thank you for listening, and follow us on CougarCast. Tell a friend about the show. Give us a review on iTunes. Go Cougars! I hope I'm wrong. Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games and go Cougars!